Let's welcome in our first guest this morning. It is Mr. Mike Jacobson, State Senator Mike Jacobson, who's in Lincoln. He's joining us via the phone this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm kind of with you, Rick. I went through the weekend, and I actually spent a little bit of time at the farm on late Sunday and on the way down to Lincoln, and nothing broke, and I don't have any Band-Aids on, so I consider that an excessive test.
I've got two Band-Aids on, literally.
The weekend, so this would be about the time of year, I don't know, I'm not familiar with your farm, but this is hay cutting time. Get involved in any of that?
No, this is, I'm all corn and soybeans.
Okay.
And, you know, my, I've got some, a couple of 80s that I have irrigated that I've got three pivots on an 80. So you got, if you can picture this, it's the bigger pivot, and then you have three tower pivots on the corners, and they miss a couple of spots. So I've got a couple of cases where I've got a little sprinkler that I can put there to catch that corn, because it really bothers me that with no rain down there, I've got this corn that it looks beautiful, and then all of a sudden it just looks horrible.
One corner, so yeah. True farmer here.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get every inch.
State Senator Mike Jacobson here with us. Well, you're in Lincoln here this weekend, or this weekend you were, but let's talk the hot topic over the last, I'd say, 3-4 weeks has been property tax valuations. Of course, those came out just a couple weeks ago, and I know our county is going through those as we speak, and obviously a pretty hot topic, and I'm sure one you get a lot of feedback from.
I do, and, you know, I got to spend a lot of time this weekend. I did go, Julie and I did go to the Sutherland for their 4th of July parade and got to see a lot of people there. And then, of course, over the weekend, we had the car show in North Platte, and then we also had the powwow on Sunday, and so, or on Saturday and Sunday, actually, and Sunday, but we were out there on Saturday. And so I bumped into a lot of people along the way, and had questions about their valuations, had questions about taxes in general, and frustrations. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I just want to reiterate to people again a couple of things. First of all, I want to reiterate that your property valuation is only one half of the equation in determining what your property taxes are going to be. And so when you look at valuations, and I know I ask this question to most people who are upset, well, gosh, my value went up 11%, 15%, somebody, my value went up 20%. The first question I ask them is, do you think your property's worth that? Oh, yeah, it probably is. But right. It went up this much. And I said, well, I understand that, but the assessor's required by state statutes to do a certain process in valuing those properties. And so, really, as a general rule for a property owner, it's probably a good thing that our value went up. And I would argue that virtually everyone's valuation is probably still less than what they could sell their property for today.
Exactly.
Now, for those who can't answer that question that way, those are the ones that should have filed an appeal, and the county commissioners will act as a board of equalization, and they will review those property protests and determine whether or not they need to be reduced. And if you don't get the answer you want there, then you've got the tax equalization, or also known as the TURC, TURC in Lincoln. You can appeal it to TURC, and they can review it. So there is a review process there. But I would argue that 99.9% of the valuations that are out there, I would argue your value is probably at or below the real market value of your property. And for ag land, it would be 75% of the value of your property. So the value is one piece of it. Keep in mind that as we get to October and all the local taxing authorities set their budget, and again, let me reiterate, only property taxes are assessed locally. The state legislature does not assess the property tax. The state legislature has a sales tax, and they have income taxes, both corporate and personal, and that's where their revenue comes from. So the property taxes go to local property taxing authorities, your school district, your county, your city, and then all of your smaller taxing authorities. That's where the property taxes go to. And so they're all going to do their budgets in October. And when they get their budgets confirmed, and oh, by the way, you'll be notified, you'll know when their budgets are going to be discussed. And you're certainly welcome to go to those meetings and listen and look at what's going into their budget. And once they set their budgets, then they give that information to the county treasurer, who then has to say, all right, let's go look at the valuation of the properties in the area that you have jurisdiction over, and we're going to divide your budget over the value of that property, and we're going to come up with a mill levy. And that mill levy is the amount that we have to assess against your property in order to raise enough income to cover those budgets. So that's how the process works. And then at that point in time, you'll get a property tax bill, and that'll come out probably in December. And technically, your property taxes are due. So for your 2023 property taxes would be due December 31st, but they're not delinquent until, I believe it's May 1st of 24 and September 1st of 24, half and half. So that's how our property tax system works. Now, where the legislature gets involved is the legislature has an ability to provide additional aid to your local taxing authorities. And to the extent that we can provide aid to those taxing authorities, that will cause them to reduce the amount that they have to generate from local property taxes to cover their budgets. The biggest one is the school districts. And school districts account for, as a general rule, about 60% of your property tax bill. The legislature this year did vote, and we did pass a bill that will basically total this year will be an additional over $300 million in additional aid to public schools across the state. I can tell you the way it laid out is every school district, the smaller school districts across District 42 that got no state aid before will now be receiving $1,500 per student. So when you take the number of students times $1,500, that minimum additional state aid going to go to those schools that hopefully will reduce the amount of property taxes that are going to be taken in those districts. That's how the legislature can really help with your property tax bill. The other significant thing, and I wrote about it this week in my letter that will be in the newspapers, is what we did with community colleges. Mm-hmm. Your community college, as a general rule across the state, is taking somewhere around 5% of your total property tax bill, but it's a little higher than that in certain areas. And so what we've done is we're taking community colleges off the tax rolls in 2024. And so what we will do is the state will provide the aid for their operating expenses rather than the community colleges assessing for them. Now, the community colleges will still assess for their capital improvements, their bonding that's out there today. But I would tell you there's a property tax credit that comes back against your community college tax that will fully extinguish that. So in 2024, you will be paying no net taxes to your community college. They'll be completely removed from the rolls. So that's another way that the legislature stepped in to try to provide additional aid. That brings me to my beef that I've got this week, and that is and both my beef and my accolades. First, I want to give accolades to Mid Plains Community College, who has the lowest property tax rate among all of the community colleges across the state. In fact, their number is below the minimum that we established this year by the legislature in terms of support. So they've been down well below 7.5% or 7.5 mils. That's what we're going to be providing to them. So they're actually going to get additional revenue as a result of this change, and the taxpayers will pay nothing in the counties that are impacted by Mid Plains Community College. However, Southeast Community College has taken a little bit different tact. And Southeast Community College's Board of Governors has preliminarily voted to max out what they can charge in property taxes, and they're going to go all the way up to 11.5 mils. Wow. And needless to say, several of us in the legislature have taken offense to that, because we passed a bill to reduce property taxes, and they're actually raising it because this is the last year they'd have to be able to assess, and they're going to grab all the money they can.
So several of us
have signed on to a letter, let's just say, encouraging them to rethink that position and indicating to them that we will probably have to take a hard look at that in the legislature next year as to how we remedy that if they choose to move forward with that.
I'm a big believer.
Pardon me?
I said it sounds like they've fallen into the we got to use it or lose it myth.
That is exactly the case, and they're seeing a little bit of a loophole, which I was concerned about out of the gate, but nonetheless, there was an expectation of them doing the right thing. Mm. The rest of the community colleges are playing it straight up, although we've heard rumors there may be one other in the eastern part of the state that's thinking about it, but that's not the way this should work. I believe in local control. But that's one of the challenges when the legislature decides to allocate dollars back to local taxing authorities and to help them reduce their local property taxes, and instead they just use it as additional revenue and continue to tax like they did before. That cannot continue. We absolutely have to get property taxes down. So it's going to take a push from people locally, holding their local taxing authorities accountable, and the legislature, I think, doing what it has to do to provide additional aid.
Now, you've made some great points, Mike, and it looks like we may be getting ahead on things here again. However, even though the legislature doesn't assess property, they do make the rules by which properties are valued. Do you see another way maybe to help out the taxpayer by changing some of the rules?
Well, I would get back again to the first part. The rules for valuation is to provide fairness and consistency across the taxing districts on how properties are valued, okay? And then valuation, again, is one component of the valuation process. Let me give you one of the concerns that's out there, and this is where people get frustrated on why is ag land assessed or valued, valued at a lower percentage than homes and businesses. And the answer to that is because of the revenue generation, the valuation of farms and ranches typically are higher than what they can generate in terms of revenues. So they're valued at 75% of value, where everything else is valued between 93 and 100% of value. But we got to keep in mind that valuation is determining what your property tax base is. And then when you set your budgets for your taxing authorities, then you've set your base. Now you know what the money you need to raise. Then you solve for the mill levy. And the mill levy needs to be solved for after you've determined the valuations and then after you've determined the budgets. So I don't think that looking at valuations, we can change the way valuations are done, but it's still not going to impact your taxes. What's going to come down to is what are your taxing authorities going to set their budgets at? That's going to determine how many dollars come out. To give you an example, across the state of Nebraska in 2021, there was $4.73 billion assessed in property taxes. That compares to $3.1 billion that was paid in state and local sales taxes to the state, $3 billion in individual income taxes, and $644 million in net corporate taxes. So there was a time when we really saw that property taxes, income taxes, and sales taxes would each would generate about a third of the total tax revenues necessary to support the state and all of the local political subdivisions. You can see how that's gotten out of whack, and that's one reason why the state legislature has said, let's do more to provide assistance to the public schools, state aid to public schools, so they will reduce their property tax ask. Let's eliminate community colleges, so that will eliminate their property tax ask. We need to get property taxes back down in line to where it's no more than a third of the total tax liability for the operation of the entire state.
Talking with State Senator Mike Jacobson here, who is in Lincoln, joining us via the phone here. So a lot of good information, and obviously this is a subject that comes up frequently, I mean, year to year. So it kind of takes a re-education of sorts, and that's what you're here. I love that you're beating this horse, because it is it's as you said, sometimes it's miscommunicated, or maybe they're misinformed, and a little education kind of clears up why these things went up.
And I think that we're going to see some. The other thing I want to caution people about is when it comes to the additional state aid to public schools, we're moving from 40% of special ed reimbursement to 80% of special ed reimbursement, but there's a two-year delay in the calculation of that. So when it comes to North Platte Public, for example, they will not be getting the special ed bump for another 2 years. And so their big bump in additional state aid is going to be delayed slightly. The other school districts across the district, District 42, for the most part, are not equalized. So they're going to be getting the $1,500 per student. And they're going to be seeing significant increases. So I feel very, very confident that those that are in the smaller districts are going to see a good reaction to their property tax bill once the budget for their local school is set, because of the additional state aid that they're going to be receiving. That will make a big difference in terms of what they're going to have to charge for property taxes. So I would tell people that allow this, what's been done by the legislature this year, to kick in. Hold your taxing authorities accountable. Make sure you see what they're doing in their budgets. But let's wait for the budgets to get done and get your final tax bill before you start looking at and saying, gee, my taxes went way up. My taxes went up 11%. That should not happen based upon the dollars that are going to be flowing back to those local taxing authorities.
State Senator Mike Jacobson, anything else this morning you want to touch on?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was great. It's always great being back in the district. We really had a great time this last weekend and over the 4th of July. Really had a fun time in Sutherland. That's a wonderful parade over there, and it's a long one, but we drove a car. Bill Summers Ford has loaned us a red convertible T-Bird to drive. So that's been very nice, and I really enjoyed the time over there. Our plan is to get to as many of the parades as we can. We won't make them all, but we're going to make most of them. And so Julie and I are really looking forward to just getting out, and I really want to get in front of people and kind of hear what they're thinking. It was the long legislative session, and obviously we did get a lot done, but I think being able to communicate that and continue to hear people's concerns is important to me to kind of know what we need to do next year.
I know I saw you out down at the Platte River Cruise night. Are you a car guy? Obviously, when you get to drive that car, you are, but we normally are you?
Well, yes, I normally am. In fact, I'm looking for. I actually got the green light from my wife to buy a. I'd like to buy a vintage muscle car, so I am on the look now for one. I'd like a convertible, and I'd like something that You know, my first car was a 1964 GTO, which was, I really loved that car. And then I had a Camaro. And so, my favorite car of all time probably was the Chevelle SS 396. So that was probably my favorite car over time. I never owned one, but that's one that I certainly coveted. So I enjoy the car shows.
You heard it here first, folks. So send in your recommendations.
Well, thank you, State Senator Mike Jacobson. We appreciate your time this morning. Good luck finding that Chevelle, all right?
Hey, thank you very much. Absolutely. See you guys. Talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.